Good morning, church.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
I'm doing well. I am going through life as a father. And Levi, my six-year-old, he started soccer season last week. So he stopped getting in trouble in school. We found the correlation of him getting in trouble in school with soccer season. So when he doesn't have soccer, he has a lot of energy. So he gets in trouble in school. And then when he plays soccer, he's good. So we noticed that. It's funny because we looked at the school that he's attending. They'll send us, like, whenever he misbehaves or does something like that, they'll email us with, like, just, like, dates that he's gotten in trouble with. Days that he's gotten in trouble in. And we noticed that he started getting in trouble when his season stopped. And then, and then when he started again, he was good. So praise God for sports. Amen. Well, I am continuing my series. This is my last part of the series that I've started. It's called Fruits. I've gone through every single fruit of the Spirit, and this is my last one, my last three that I'm touching in, which is faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I think those are honestly probably some of the most important ones at the end. They're all important, but these are, for me at least, they're the ones that kind of show evidence of how your spirit is still alive within you. So I'm going to open up my Bible to Galatians 5, and I'm going to start at verse 22. If you have a Bible, great. If you don't have a Bible, there's an app called a Bible app. You could download it. And they have every single version of the Bible there. NIV, NLT. This is the one I preferred. If you like the old-timey, they have King James. So, but I will read, and you guys can read along with me. Again, I'm reading in the NLT. Verse 22 starts with, "But the Holy Spirit produces these kinds of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. For those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and their desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there." I'm going to stop right there. I think verse 24 has really been speaking out to me. I shared this with some friends this past Thursday, but verse 24, as I've been writing this, the message of the fruits of the Spirit, typically when you are in kids' church or when you're studying the Bible or when you're trying to introduce people to the fruits, you only read the fruits, but you don't read what comes after. And verse 24 really stood out to me, because it said, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and their desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there." That highlights to me that we need to constantly put our sinful desires, our human desires, to him. These fruits of the Spirit, you can only produce fruit if you acknowledge the sinful desire within you and nail it to his cross. You can only produce fruit if you acknowledge the sinful desires within you and nail it to his cross. It is so easy to ignore the sins that you constantly have, to be jealous of someone, to want to be like someone, to have whatever someone else has, or take someone else's blessing. But when you focus so much on that, you stop producing fruit. And this is where these three fruits step in: the faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These fruits aren't flashy. They always won't get applause. But they're the kind of fruits that sustain your life with God. Let me say it like this. These fruits determine not just how you start, but how you finish your faith. So my first point is this: faithfulness is staying true over time. faithfulness is staying true over time. Faithfulness is about consistency. It is not about doing something great once, but it's about doing it over and over again. In 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, it is required that those who have been given trust must prove faithful. Faithfulness shows up when no one is watching, when no one is clapping, and when no one is checking. Me personally, my faithfulness to the ministry was tested when my son was born. The reason being is this. As Levi was born, he's six now, he's going to turn seven in August. As Levi was born, me and some friends had the young adult ministry where we had fun. It was great. The Holy Spirit was moving. People were getting healed. And my son was born. And I made the decision at that moment in time to walk away from all of that and focus on being a father. That was more important for me at the time. I made a conscious decision because the Lord told me to do this. But as I made that decision, I had to stay faithful to the Lord, because as I said, yes, I'm going to step away, some of my friends that I was doing this ministry with started their own personal ministry started elevating. They were getting asked to go speak at conferences. They were getting invited to go to other churches. They were traveling to different states to go preach and minister, different countries to go preach and minister. They were doing amazing things for the Lord. And I chose to be home with my son because I love my son. But it was really hard when you look and you see what someone else has, what someone else is doing, and seeing, like, I'm home and I know I could be doing this. It's really hard to stay faithful to the ministry. I was like, my mind went to God, did you not see the value in me? Did you not think I could do this? I doubted my relationship with him. But I stayed faithful. I put those things, like I said, like it says in verse 24, I put those sinful desires and I put them on his cross. I crucified my sinful desires to stay faithful to what he called me to do. And in that season, what he called me to do was to be a father. Was to love my son, Levi, and be there for him constantly. And it was great. Honestly, it was the best time ever. It was COVID. I mean, yeah, a lot of bad things happened in COVID. But it was, for me, it was such a blessing, because I got to be at home with my newborn son and my wife. He got to see me constantly. He got to experience his dad constantly. And I wouldn't have been able to do that if I would have said, no, God, I'm going to do my own personal ministry. And I'm going to do what you have asked me not to do. And I'm going to do whatever I want. It was hard. It was hard not to be faithful to that calling. But as you stay faithful, the Lord will bless you. Because what he's doing in that moment, he's testing your patience. He is testing who you are. He is testing to see if he can give you more. And I stayed faithful. And as I kept growing and developing myself, the Lord finally allowed me to start speaking again, start ministering again. Like, he's elevating me into a new season of life where I'm being asked to go speak at these conferences. I'm being asked, like, hey, do you want to come to this state to go preach? And the only reason why I feel like he was able to give me that was because I stayed faithful in that first test, which was stay home with my son Levi. And honestly, it should have been an easy answer, but it was difficult when you see someone else doing what you wish you could do. Have you ever felt that way? Someone else is doing what you want to do, and you wish it was you. So you start becoming resentful and bitter. You have to check yourself, because if you don't check yourself, the Lord may have that for you down the line, but if you have that resentfulness and bitterness, there's no way you can function to the way that you're supposed to function if you are not in the right set of mind, if you don't have your heart correct. Faithfulness is doing what God asks, even when it's not exciting. Faithfulness is obedience over time. God is not looking for perfection. He is looking for consistency. He is not looking if you can be perfect when you pray, if you don't stutter at all. I just did. But he's not looking for that. He's not looking for the perfection. He's looking for the consistency. He's looking, how long are you willing to go into the prayer closet? Are you willing to do it every single day? He's looking, how often are you reading your word? How often are you spending communion with him? He's not looking for you to just read every single scripture perfectly. He's looking for you to see how often you are there with him. That's what faithfulness is. Faithfulness is staying true, even when it's tough. So, if faithfulness is how you stay committed to God, then gentleness is how you treat people along the way. My second point is this: gentleness is strength under control. Gentleness is strength under control. Gentleness is often misunderstood. People think gentleness is weakness. But biblically, gentleness is strength under control. Jesus described himself as gentle and low and lowly in heart. Think about that. The most powerful person to ever walk this earth described himself as gentle. The person who died on the cross, took all that pain, described himself as gentle. Gentleness is how you respond when you are frustrated, how you correct someone, and how you handle conflict. It's not about being passive, it's about being controlled. And when I say that, I don't mean be a pushover. I don't mean coddle someone. What that means, what gentleness means, is being able to deliver what you're supposed to say with truth and compassion. That's why you see a lot of street preachers, not all of them, a lot of them, will start yelling at people and start saying, you're going to hell, or you're doing this, or you're doing this wrong. This starts preaching condemnation rather than what it really is, which is eternal life. Gentleness will allow you to speak with confidence, will allow you to speak the truth. Because if you speak with gentleness, you're speaking the gospel. I'm a married man, so I practice gentleness every single day. Patience too, but gentleness, I practice it every single day. And so one of the days that I really had to practice gentleness was, I don't know if you guys know, Carrie drives a Kia Seltos. It's an orange Kia Seltos. I got her to that car last year. She loves it. It has a bunch of sensors everywhere. But the reason why she has that car was because the car that we had previous to this was totaled. I had to practice gentleness that day. I paid off the car that we had previous to this Kia for about a month. And then my wife calls me one day after church. She's like, Edwin, I've rear-ended someone. My first thought would have been, before the Lord, would have been, why would you? I would have been frustrated. I would have been angry. I would have started yelling. But before I said anything, I took a deep breath, and I said, honey, are you okay? Honey, are the kids okay? She was like, yeah, but the car's messed up. And I'm like, okay, but are you okay? And then I prayed with her, and then I started driving as fast and legally as legally possible to where they were at. I decided to love on her and take care of her and make sure that she was okay before anything else. And then as we found out, okay, the car's going to get totaled, I still didn't get upset. I was like, okay, it's okay. The car was paid off. We'll get some money back. We'll get you a new car. Don't worry about it. Things like this happen. Same thing like this. When she likes to cut my nails, my toenails. Love her. There was one day when she was cutting them, and she cut one of the nails wrong, and I needed to go to the doctor because I got infected. And then the doctor needed to put me in some anesthesia and actually cut the nail. It was so painful. She started like apologizing, and I chose to exercise gentleness that day too. I was like, it's okay, honey. It happens. I'm not mad at you. But that's what gentleness is. Do I know I could yell at my wife? Yes. Am I a man? Am I stronger than her if she tries to hit me? Yeah. But gentleness is not about that. Gentleness, like I said, is about showing self-control. Gentleness is strength under control. I'm choosing to show my wife that I want to be gentle towards her, that I want to take care of her. And I want her to trust me, because if we show this as men and as the church, then we are protecting the bride. We are being gentle towards the bride. Amen? Gentleness is power that chooses not to dominate. Gentleness is correction without condemnation. You can be strong and still be soft. Gentleness is strength submitted to the Spirit. That's what gentleness is. Gentleness is strength submitted to the Spirit. So, if faithfulness is consistency and gentleness is strength in control, then, and gentleness is control in how you treat others, then self-control is mastering what happens inside of you. And I kind of briefly touched on it with how I choose to react to my wife. But my third point is self-control is victory over yourself. Victory over yourself. Self-control is one of the hardest fruits because it deals with you as an individual. Your thoughts, your reactions, your desires. Proverbs 25:28 says, like a city whose walls are broken throughout is a person who lacks self-control. If we lack self-control, we are a city without walls. If we lack self-control, every wind is going to shift us. If we lack self-control, every emotion is going to run your life. Every impulse every decision you make is going to be made out of impulse. And every habit will take over your life. But with self-control, you pause before you react, you think before you speak, and you choose what honors God. So, self-control is so important for us as adults because it reflects on our children. Self-control is really hard for kids. I have a 3-year-old daughter who lacks complete self-control. I have a 6-year-old son who struggles with self-control. So Levi, he started soccer again, and one of the habits he's picked up has been when he's growing. So as you grow, you start feeling more emotions and you start feeling more things. So when Levi was about 4 years old, he was one of the most cuddly kids in the world. He would just want to snuggle with you constantly. And he's still that. But now as he's growing, he's starting to feel other emotions. One of those emotions is now anger. He's starting to lash out a little bit more. Frustration is starting to get at him. If he doesn't get what he wants when he wants it, he will get angry. Or if you tell him, no, you're not doing that, he will start yelling, no, no, no. Or start, but I want to, but I want to. And that's okay. Self-control has, the self-control that he's going to get is the reflection of how I'm choosing to react to him at that moment. But soccer season started, and I'm not there on the field with him. I can coach him when I'm at the house or when we're going through something out at church or in public. But when he's on the field, he's by himself, and I have to trust another adult to correct him when he's doing something wrong. So something wrong that he's been doing is he's been chopping kids so hard when he's frustrated. Like, he's been going behind kids, and he's going, pow, and he's just, like, taking their legs out. And I have to be, I'm fighting every urge within me to be like, go in the field and just be, no, Levi, you don't get kids. I have to trust the other adult that's coaching him to correct that. But I'm not seeing that right now. So I have to go and talk to the coach myself. And this happened last game. I have to go and talk to the coach and be like, hey, I love my son, but please correct him. I'm not a parent that's going to tell you, please don't yell at my son. I need you to correct my son. If he's doing something wrong, I need you to correct my son because I'm trying to teach him. And I honestly, as I've been writing this, I've been going through every fruit of the Spirit with him. It's like, so I'm trying to teach him the fruit of self-control right now. And if he's frustrated because, and his team was winning 8-0. I don't know why he was frustrated about. Like, I mean, he's like, I don't want him to know that if he's frustrated, that it's okay to hurt someone else. Coach, he's just very nonchalant. So he was like, okay. Levi kicked another kid, nothing happened. So I had to go to Levi when they pulled him out and be like, hey, buddy, are you a son? Are you, I always ask him, who are you? And he says, I'm a child of God. And I'm like, good. It's like, should a child of God be kicking other kids? He said, I don't know. That's his answer when he's just like, doesn't want to answer me. He knows he's wrong. I was like, should a child of God be kicking other kids? He's like, I don't know. And I'm like, let me ask you again. Should a child of God be kicking other kids? He was like, no. So then I explained to him what self-control is. But then I realized, okay, I need to be more than just saying, don't do this, don't do that. Because you can tell a kid not to do something and they'll say, yeah, okay, but then they'll go back again and do it later. So what I'm choosing to do actively so I can teach myself, my son's self-control is I'm showing him my self-control for every time that he lashes out at me or yells at me. I'm telling him, like, hey, Levi, I'm going to exercise self-control now. I am choosing not to yell at you or hit you or anything or discipline you later. I am choosing right now to show you how much I love you. And I'm going to hug you. And if you feel frustrated, you can come and hug me too. So we started doing that. Hopefully it works. One of the things we also started doing to work on self-control is I bought this book with devotionals for me and him specifically. So me and him have been reading devotionals every night. Just speaking life into him and speaking character and speaking his image into him. I'm reflecting the self-control that I want my son to have out in this world. Because when he goes out into this world, I want people to know that he is the light, that he walks in truth, and that he's going to share the gospel wherever he goes. Self-control is not about limitation. It is about walking in liberation. It is about walking in freedom, in true freedom. You are the strongest when you can say no to yourself. Discipline today will create freedom tomorrow. The discipline of self-control will create freedom for tomorrow for myself. It will create freedom for tomorrow for Levi. I hope that it will rub off on Joelle. She's a wild card. I don't know what's going to happen with her. There was this parent that I saw. It's like, my daughter will either be a CEO or lead a gang. And I am hoping that Joelle will be a CEO. Self-control is choosing God over your impulses. That's what self-control is. Again, I'm going to read verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their own sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. All these fruits, all the fruits that we have, that we're capable of growing, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All those fruits we can produce. But it's about choosing God over your own impulses and desires. And that's honestly the hardest thing to do. If the Lord, and this is how I know I'm in the right church. I know Don's character. I know everyone's character who's in the pastor eldership. Because I know if they find a bag filled with $1 million, I know that they would turn it in. Over us getting a new building, over whatever people would try to justify it in their own brains. Like, well, if we get this new building, we can reach more people. We do this, we do that. We can buy stuff for the worship team. But I know they would turn it in because they are choosing God over their own impulse. They would say, God, you will bring those finances when you think we are ready. You will increase our numbers when we start showing, because we are showing you our faithfulness. Character is what produces fruits. Character is what produces fruits. The closer you draw to Christ, the more fruit you will produce. I want to be, and I am in a church where I know the fruits of the Spirit are growing. Where I know if someone walks in through these doors, love is going to be produced. Joy is going to be displayed. Peace is going to be given. Patience is going to be shown. Kindness is going to be displayed. Goodness and self-control will be given and shown and taught. Church, these fruits don't just help you to start strong, but they help you to finish well. We are here on this earth to run and finish our race. And these fruits were given to us to be finishing our race well. So let me ask you, where do you need to be more faithful? It could be in serving. It could be in giving. Where do you need to be? Where do you need to show more gentleness? It could be in a relationship. It could be with a coworker. And where do you need to exercise self-control in your life? What is something that you need to work on and give of? Anyone can start. Anyone can react. Anyone can follow their feelings. And most people do. But when the Spirit is leading you, you stay faithful, you respond with gentleness, and you walk in self-control. Let us pray. Lord, shape our character. Make us faithful in the small things. Teach us to be gentle in how we treat others. Give us self-control in areas in our lives where we need them. And help us reflect you in everything we do. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Church, have a great week. Share the fruits of the Spirit with someone out in the street. Amen. Amen. Amen.